It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauley on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go.
Let's go.
A special edition of Graybar Sports Open Line this evening. It's a KMOX Soccer Showcase, our last of 2024. We're at Hot Shots in Benton, Nate Gattergensis in for Matt Pauley, who is making his way up to Toronto to call tomorrow night's Cardinals game against the Blue Jays, the opener of a weekend series. If you have not made it out, and plenty of people have here to Hot Shots in Benton, still time to come down, get your ticket, get in line to get photos, to get autographs from city right back Thomas Totland, who is with us tonight. You'll hear from him in just a moment, and as well to get your hands on some signed merchandise we're giving away. Any of that up for grabs at Hot Shots in Fenton this evening at the KMOX Soccer Showcase. Thomas, first of all, thank you very much for being with us. A lot of people out here who are looking forward to hearing from you. What has it been like your first year living in St. Louis?
Man, it's been a lot. You know, it's been very fun getting into the team and getting to know all the fans and everybody around the club. And it's been very fun.
Do you remember when we talked back in April? We talked about a few things, and one of the things you were doing right after was going to IKEA. Mm. How did that go?
I mean, I
did you get that, everything you needed?
I did. I used that big city truck that we have at our facility, and I'm not sure if I'm even allowed to drive it, but it got the job done.
I guess you had been in Sweden most recently before city, so maybe going to IKEA was a good like bridge between Sweden and the U.S.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I came into the IKEA, and it was Swedish words there, like. Should we fika, which is should we go and get a snack? So it was fun to get in there again.
That's awesome. Yeah, we'll get to the point where I remember wanted to talk to you about one of the goals that you scored that was so awesome. But first, just before we started the show, you were talking a little bit with my son and shared the fact that you had started playing in the second division at age 14. And he's over there, and I'm looking at him, and he's 13, and he's not quite probably, you may be a little taller. It's hard for me to wrap my head around a 14-year-old playing with grown men in a league.
Yeah, it was scary at first for sure. It was something new coming up against people that are almost twice your height and double your weight. But for me, I think it was a good thing to get into senior soccer very early, so I got to get exposed to that physical part of it, and also. Yeah, the team that I was in was very helpful, and all the guys that took me in well under their wing. So it was a very smooth thing.
We're talking to Thomas Totland, city fullback at Hot Shots in Fenton, the final of our KMOS soccer showcases in 2024. Thomas, you know, you're talking about getting into professional soccer with a senior team at 14 for the first time. That was in the second division in your native Norway. Then you made the move to Sweden and now here to the U.S. I'm always struck thinking about players' careers by, on the one hand, the sort of physical steps on the field, whether that's in terms of the literal physicality of the men that you're playing at 14, the quality when you step up in leagues. But then there's also all the off-the-field stuff. And, of course, it's a big transition for you. You know, the first time that you left Norway, I imagine, was a transition, and then a much bigger one coming from Sweden here. What is that like, managing all the personal life stuff that you have to go through to adjust to a new place and a new culture while also trying to be your best on the field right away?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I think it's something that you learn to adapt to. And also, as a soccer player, you have to learn to adapt to new places fast, because I mean it's a job that changes quickly. You know, you can be here one day and traded the next day, and yeah. So you need to be open for that. And also all the clubs that I've been in have been great with the personnel helping out with apartments and car and whatso. I enjoy that part, you know, coming to a new club. It's always this butterfly in your stomach and just to get to know the new guys and the new city and the new team and the new fans, of course.
Do I remember right, your mom is American?
She is.
She is, but at the time, I think when you come here, maybe Tom Timmerman from the Post had asked if you'd been as far as St. Louis, and Vermont, I feel like, was as far as you'd been into the country.
Yeah, it was. Vermont is actually quite like Norway and Sweden in some point. It's a lot of forest, mountains, and the weather there is more.
Oh yes.
More like what I'm used to. But no, it's those 8 months that I've been here have been incredible, and it's been interesting feeling this humidity in St. Louis.
Burning heat.
I was gonna take a break, but you mentioned the humidity, and that is something that is so interesting to me, especially when European players, in particular Northern European players, come to St. Louis, because Lutz Van Ginkel has been so adamant from the moment that the club started, even before the first season in MLS, that the team was going to be built to make opponents suffer, to make it just terrible to have to come and play here in July and August in the humidity. And I used to always think, you know, Lutz, do you know your own players are going to have to play in the humidity too? What has that been like?
No, it's, I mean, we train in this weather every day, so at some point your body gets used to it, but yeah, I can't really say that I've ever gotten used to it, because every time we play in 90s, it still hurts. But this one guy told me one time that the best way to adapt to it is to go into, because we have a sauna at our facility, and that is to, after a hard training session, just go straight into a hot sauna and just stay there for 10 minutes, because then your body keeps adapting.
Interesting.
I did not know that.
Well, it seems to be working just fine so far. We have to take a quick break, but we'll have more Thomas Totland coming up after the break. It's our final KMOX Soccer Showcase of the year at Hot Shots in Fenton. Still time to come on out and be part of it. Thomas Totland of St. Louis City with us, and you will hear more from him in just a moment. It's this KMOX Soccer Showcase, a special presentation of Graybar Sports Open Line.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
On KMOX.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Goes mid swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Back on a special edition of Graybar Sports Open Line tonight, our final KMOX Soccer Showcase of the season, live from Hot Shots in Fenton, where you can still come out and grab yourself a ticket to be part of the raffle of items and get yourself a photo and autograph with City fullback Thomas Totland, who is kind enough to stick around with us for one additional segment. Nate Gatter, Jen Cease with you, in for Matt Pauley, who is on assignment this evening. Thomas, let's talk a little bit more about this season, because obviously the first half of the season did not go the way a lot of people wanted it to. I think your performance was one of the real bright spots, but of course there were not as many wins as anyone hoped. At the same time, getting the infusion of some of these new players over the summer seems to have really invigorated the team, and now three straight results in the resumption of MLS play, including a win. How do you feel the energy around the facility has changed since the summer window?
Yeah, those new, or Giannis, Seti, Cello, and Simon have come in with a lot of energy, and as a brand new player, you always come in with that extra energy because you want to show up, and they've definitely come in like that, and I think we needed some new players and some new energy, because you know MLS has a long season, and after that summer break, and I know people get tired, so they've had a massive impact on us.
I remember somebody coming in with a bunch of energy when he came in, Thomas Totland, to come into a team that was struggling, right? Struggling with injuries had happened, guys who had found their form getting hurt. And I remember you coming in, and St. Louis City struggled a little bit with the 4-1 loss to Vancouver, I think another one 4-1 loss to Colorado, and then we had a trip. We went to Seattle, and we went to Kansas City. Mm. And if I have this right, that was where you ran through play. Same, it was the same game that Klaus trucked Agata, and you and I debated there was no foul. Mm. And you came through in that last, 30 seconds of the game, made that, you know. So you talk about coming with energy. Mm. You came with energy, ran the whole field, scored a goal.
Yeah, that was
against our rival.
Yeah, that was a fun moment. I think I didn't know at that time how big that was, but it was huge for us.
We mentioned, and I think this Jen bringing up that trip is a perfect segue. One of the things that, along with the weather, that can be a challenge for foreign players is the travel, right? This is a massive country compared to what
you're used to. Do you remember? You were like, no, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
We got a plane.
Yeah.
We didn't talk time zones.
How has it been adapting to the travel and just how long some of these trips are?
Yeah, I told you that I've been used to 6-7 hours of bus ride in my previous clubs, but that this was private plane, everything, that was super easy. But we've been to LA, Vancouver, all these places, and we get this schedule before we leave every time, and it says that we will be home at 1:30 in the morning, St. Louis, and then we come home, and they've forgotten to put in that it's 2 hours difference. We're suddenly home at 3:30 in the morning, you know?
So what we need a little better time zone, man, in the prep is what you're saying.
Yeah.
What are your biggest aspirations on a personal level for finishing out this season and looking ahead to next season with considerably more momentum right now than the club had, say, 2 or 3 months ago?
Yeah, I think the team now is getting a lot better, and we're playing a lot better, and those new signings, like I said, have helped us a lot, and pretty much every game that we've played now, we've been controlling matches much better than we normally did, and just finishing this season on a strong note, and hopefully making playoffs and bringing in good energy to next year.
I think when we talked a little bit too, you'd started when you were younger as a midfielder. When did you convert to a back that's attacking in your style? You're more of an attacking back. You run end line to end line literally all game long. When did you do that? And do you see that being where you stay from here on out in what you do?
Yeah, for sure. From now on, I'm probably going to be a fullback. But no, like you said, I used to play as a left 10 or a midfield all the way up to under 18s. I think that was the last time I was on a national team duty, and I played a left 10, and after that summer I came back to my club. I actually got sick that summer and came back, and they put me at fullback, and from that on I'll just,
they're like, now you're gonna do it for the whole field.
Yeah. I just started playing there, and they liked me playing there, so yeah, I never looked back.
How much do you feel that the sort of, I don't want to say unique, but very trademark style of St. Louis City at this point, and the specific way that the club want to play, suits your personal style and your skill set?
Yeah, I mean, the way that we used to play under Cornell was a pressing style, which I kind of had to adapt to, and it was I think it was a style that fitted me because I could also get the ball offensively. But now under Hack, we also control the ball a lot better, and that also helps me a lot.
That's awesome. Thinking forward to this game here at City Park. Not many of those left. Is it the last one? Is it not the last one? No, there's one more, but it feels like there's just not that much. How is it to come? I know this game is pressure. John Hackworth talked about it today. Joao Klaus talked about it today, that it's a must win, but you get to do it in front of the City fans.
Yeah, I mean, all year it's been a joy to go out there and play. You know, every time we're going the road, it just feels so weird because you don't have 25 people rooting
for you.
You
got like a corner of dedicated fans.
You get a corner, but of course you miss City Park, and it's been massive for us this whole year.
Does it really give you that push that the players talk, you guys all talk about?
Yeah, it really does. It's not just something that we say. It's especially when you have that humidity and it's and it's hot and you're tired and everything, but the fans are standing there and screaming at us. And yeah, it just gives you those 5-10% that you need at that point.
Well, Thomas, we so appreciate you being here, and we got a lot of folks here at Hot Shots at Fenton who are waiting to have their time with you, so we will not hog you any longer. But thanks so much for visiting with us, and best of luck the rest
of
the season.
Thank you.
At St. Louis City, right back, Thomas Totland, who is with us at Hot Shots in Fenton, and you can come on down. Last couple of minutes probably to make it down in time to get yourself in line and get a photo, get an autograph. Thomas will be here signing and taking photos, and we will be giving merchandise away. Jen and I will still be with you for the next 90 minutes. We'll be talking to Dale Schilly, our match analyst on Y98, when we come back. Special edition of Gray Bar Sports Open Line continues after this on Campbell Wax.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line.
Goes mid swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Gray Bar Sports Open Line continues, a special edition from Hot Shots in Fenton. Nate Gattergen, C-Spec, with you in for Matt Pauly, who is on assignment this evening. City fullback Thomas Totland was kind enough to join us for the first couple of segments, and Jen, I thought, was really insightful. It was great to talk to him, as it has been for all of these KMOX
That's
soccer
right.
showcases. It's a shame this is our last one of the year.
Yeah, boo. We should do more than four.
Luckily, we have another special guest with us, and that's Dale Schilly, who is no less special than Totland just because he joins us every week. We appreciate him just the same, our city match analyst on our sister station, Y98. Dale, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Six games left for St. Louis City, three at home, including the night after tomorrow, 7:30 kickoff, 7 o'clock pregame on Y98 when City take on Minnesota at City Park. In what is, I think, safe to say, a must-win game, truly, if City are going to preserve their slim shot at the playoffs. 8 points back of Minnesota, who have the ninth and final slot in the playoffs in the Western Conference, and Minnesota also have a game in hand on City. If St. Louis could get all 3 points this Saturday and pull within potentially as few as 5 points with five games to go, maybe you say there's still an outside shot there?
Yeah, you know, I think... Here's what I think. If you're looking at the schedules and trying to just look at it in an unbiased way, although I'm biased, one, if we get the result, Minnesota, if we get 3 points on Saturday, Minnesota has a difficult schedule. Not that ours is easy by any means, but they got Vancouver away. They have I'm trying to do this off the top of my head. They got Real Salt Lake away. They got Colorado at home. They don't have an easy way to go, and they got us twice. It's not an easy path for them. So you have to win. There's no question about that. You have to win on Saturday night. If you do, to be honest, it's not that far-fetched. Now, at the same time, you know, we've got to go away to LAFC. We've got our own struggles as well, but you know, if you start counting points and you start looking at the possibilities, there's a chance for us.
You know, Dale, at practice today, watching a little bit of training in this week, Joao Klaus talked about it today at the presser. So did John Hackworth. With that full, basically almost full squad, guys who are ready to go, he's been pushing Rasmus Alm, he's been pushing Joao Klaus to be ready to go for the full 90, but it seems like spirits are really up. The competition level's high, but it also seems like the vibes are good.
Yeah, I think that just goes hand in hand with playing well. You know, certainly you'd like to win games and some of the things with all the ties and whatnot, but the guys are playing well, and I think they feel confident in the way they're playing and the way they're creating chances. John did some work early in the week about keeping the team away and trying to protect the lead and some things that way that I think we all recognize as an area of growth for the group. But just the fact that the guys are playing well, creating chances, are good on the ball, they're good in possession, I think they feel good about their performance. They just need to get over the hump and get some W's.
John Hackworth said something today that jumped out to me in his media availability, which was that the position battles in training had gotten to the point that they were, quote, torturous on his mental state, which I think we can all empathize with him, even if it's sort of exactly what the doctor ordered to infuse that quality in the squad that we were asking for early on in the season. They did that over the summer, and wouldn't you know, as everybody gets healthier and as they add really talented players to the squad, it makes the manager's job of picking the team each weekend a lot more difficult.
Yeah, and that's what spurs that development. I mean, the individual development, the collective development, just that competition and the fact that you can't take a day off in training. You can't go and hide in a practice session and be uninvolved and unimpactful. You have to be active. You have to be on your game, and because there's somebody, no matter who you are in this group, there's somebody that's nipping at your heels trying to take your spot. So it's really healthy. It's one of the more difficult jobs as a coach is creating that competitive environment and keeping it healthy so that the guys are still moving together in one direction. It's one of the jobs I think that John's done really well.
We're with Dale Schilly, our match analyst on our sister station for every game on Y98 and director of the City Academy. Obviously, Dale, you've been around the game at a really high level for a long time, and I want to follow up on that point because it's so interesting to me that on the one hand you have grown men who are putting their livelihoods on the line every single day, and that, you know, the way they put food on the table for their families is making money playing this game. And in that sense, they're competing against one another because they need to be out on the field. They need to protect their role at the club in order to protect their livelihood. On the other hand, for a team to be successful, the atmosphere in the dressing room needs to be one of cohesion and togetherness. How does it work out, the dynamics of within a team, that you can do both of those things at the same time?
Well, I think the first thing is you have to be just brutally honest and direct and upfront. There can be no room for there can be no gray area where players have the opportunity to fill in the blanks with their own opinion or trying to find somebody else in the locker room to help them develop an opinion. So there has to be complete clarity with where a player stands or why he's in that position as compared to somebody else. You can remove the gray area and you can offer that level of clarity, then I think it just makes the locker room better. It eliminates a lot of the conversations that go on in small groups and behind people's backs that really tears down a locker room. So that clarity and honesty is hugely important. And look, it gets to a point where if a player doesn't agree with the...
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Graybar Sports Open Line continues a special edition from Hot Shots in Fenton. Nate Gatter, Jen Seaspec with you in for Matt Pauly, who is on assignment this evening. City fullback Thomas Totland was kind enough to join us for the first couple of segments, and Jen, I thought, was really insightful. It was great to talk to him, as it has been for all of these KMOX
That's
Soccer
right.
Showcases. It's a shame this is our last one of the year.
Yeah, boo. We should do more than four.
Luckily, we have another special guest with us, and that's Dale Schilly, who is no less special than Totlin just because he joins us every week. We appreciate him just the same, our city match analyst on our sister station, Y98. Dale, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Six games left for St. Louis City, three at home, including the night after tomorrow, 7:30 kickoff, 7 o'clock pregame on Y98 when City take on Minnesota at City Park. in what is, I think, safe to say, a must-win game, truly, if City are going to preserve their slim shot at the playoffs. 8 points back of Minnesota, who have the ninth and final slot in the playoffs in the Western Conference, and Minnesota also have a game in hand on City. If St. Louis could get all 3 points this Saturday and pull within potentially as few as 5 points with five games to go, maybe you say there's still an outside shot there?
Yeah, you know, I think here's what I think. If you're looking at the schedules and trying to just look at it in an unbiased way, although I'm biased, one, if we get the result, Minnesota, if we get 3 points on Saturday, Minnesota has a difficult schedule. Not that ours is easy by any means, but they got Vancouver away. They have, I'm trying to do this off the top of my head, they got Real Salt Lake away. They got Colorado at home. They don't have an easy way to go, and they got us twice. It's not an easy path for them. So you have to win. There's no question about that. You have to win on Saturday night. If you do, to be honest, it's not that far-fetched. Now, at the same time, you know, we've got to go away to LAFC. We've got our own struggles as well. But, you know, if you start counting points and you start looking at the possibilities, there's a chance for us.
You know, Dale, at practice today, watching a little bit of training in this week, Joao Klaus talked about it today at the presser. So did John Hackworth. With that full, basically almost full squad, guys who are ready to go, he's been pushing Rasmus Alm, he's been pushing Joao Klaus to be ready to go for the full 90, but it seems like spirits are really up. The competition level's high, but it also seems like the vibes are good.
Yeah, I think that just goes hand in hand with playing well. You know, certainly you'd like to win games you know, some of the things with all the ties and whatnot, but the guys are playing well, and I think they feel confident in the way they're playing, the way they're creating chances. You know, John did some work early in the week about keeping the team away and trying to protect the lead and some things that way that I think we all recognize as an area of growth for the group. But just the fact that the guys are playing well, creating chances, they're good on the ball, they're good in possession, you know, I think they feel good about their performance. They just need to get over the hump and get some W's.
John Hackworth said something today that jumped out to me in his media availability, which was that the position battles in training had gotten to the point that they were, quote, torturous on his mental state, which I think we can all empathize with him, even if it's sort of exactly what the doctor ordered to infuse that quality in the squad that we were asking for early on in the season. They did that over the summer, and wouldn't you know, as everybody gets healthier and as they add really talented players to the squad, it makes the manager's job of picking the team each weekend a lot more difficult.
Yeah, and that's what spurs that development. I mean, the individual development, the collective development, just that competition and the fact that you can't take a day off in training. You can't go and hide in a practice session and be uninvolved and unimpactful. You have to be active. You have to be on your game, and because there's somebody, no matter who you are in this group, there's somebody that's nipping at your heels trying to take your spot. So it's really healthy. It's one of the more difficult jobs as a coach is creating that competitive environment and keeping it healthy so that the guys are still moving together in one direction. It's one of the jobs I think that John's done really well.
We're with Dale Schilly, our match analyst on our sister station for every game on Y98 and director of the City Academy. Obviously, Dale, you've been around the game at a really high level for a long time, and I want to follow up on that point because it's so interesting to me that on the one hand you have grown men who are putting their livelihoods on the line every single day, and that, you know, the way they put food on the table for their families is making money playing this game. And in that sense, they're competing against one another because they need to be out on the field. They need to protect their role at the club in order to protect their livelihood. On the other hand, for a team to be successful, the atmosphere in the dressing room needs to be one of cohesion and togetherness. How does it work out, the dynamics of within a team, that you can do both of those things at the same time?
Well, I think the first thing is you have to be just brutally honest and direct and upfront. There can be no room for, there can be no gray area where players have the opportunity to fill in the blanks with their own opinion or trying to find somebody else in the locker room to help them develop an opinion. So there has to be complete clarity with where a player stands or why he's in that position as compared to somebody else. You can remove the gray area and you can offer that level of clarity, then I think it just makes the locker room better. It eliminates a lot of the conversations that go on in small groups and behind people's backs that really tears down a locker room. So that clarity and honesty is hugely important. And look, it gets to a point where if a player doesn't agree with the coach's opinion, then sometimes they just have to be removed from the atmosphere and from the environment because they're toxic in that environment.
You know, Dale, every game we talk stats, right, during the game, after the game, and possession rate has always been one of the top stats to talk about when it came to City's style, especially under Brady Carnell. It was noted today from John Hackworth, along with Joao Klaus, that some things are being tweaked and changed over time. John, a direct quote from him said, you know, when we are better on the ball, we are better defensively. That attacking the right way helps us defend and counter-press. Same thing with Joao Klaus talking about really making the emphasis being better with the ball, which just makes me think of that possession rate where City oftentimes was more off the ball and then made their attack. Do you see that slowly changing a bit?
Yeah, I do see it changing, and I agree with John that it's really hard to be a pressing team if you can't get numbers forward to press the ball when you lose it. So if you're playing a big ball and you lose possession and you don't have numbers forward, you have one guy, maybe two guys trying to press while the other guys are trying to catch up and close the space, and they may be too fatigued to do that, so they can't close the space fast enough. So that's where I think, you know, like Toyshirt and Hartle and Betcher have done such a masterful job. Betcher's just a good target and holds the ball up. Toyshirt finds spaces, and when he's on, he's heavily involved with being able to help us get out of the back third. I think we all recognize Hartle's gifts, both off the ball and on the ball. They've just allowed us to get players forward and help other players get better. But their ability to hold things up allows the back four to get higher, to squeeze the game, to get numbers around the ball. So when we lose it, we can press to get it back again.
Hey, we asked him if he liked seeing Simon Betcher and Joao Klaus together and if that might tip the hand towards maybe playing those two together. And he didn't say no.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the things that that John has to do as well. It's a Nate's question about the locker room. Got to be careful what you say in public before you say it in the locker room, because sometimes it'll come back to bite you. So, you know, if he hasn't had a conversation with those two guys about his plans for him, I would dodge the question as well.
Dale, just last thing for you, and I don't want to put you in a difficult position here, first of all, because, you know, you have various obligations to the club, and second of all, because it's just a hard thing for any of us to say from the outside without having all the information. But at this point, with what you've seen in the League's Cup and with what you've seen from these first three games since the break, now that John Hackworth has been able to work with a healthy team and with the new guys who were added over the summer, do you think at the very least he is making a case that to have himself, his name, among the finalists, among the seriously considered for the full-time role going into next season?
I'm glad that you softened the question as you went, because I knew it was going as soon as you laid out the first disclaimer. Look, I do, and I think the reason is because he's got the players bought into playing as a group and playing as a unit. And, you know, I think taking things over in the beginning is difficult, because you can't get players bought in and playing in the way that you want them to play in such a short period. So at this stage, I would say he's got guys bought in. We've seen, we've all recognized the adjustment in the style of play, and that it's been effective, because we've played good teams, we've got good results, and we're still hanging around and hanging in there. So I do certainly think that John's made a case for himself.
Dale, we appreciate you as always, even when I have to ask you those difficult, maybe especially when I have to ask you those difficult questions. Thanks so much, and we look forward to hearing you again soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.
That's Dale Schiller, our match analyst on our sister station, Y98. He will be off on Saturday with Cat. Well, not off. He's never off. Tending to academy obligations on Saturday. Jen will be filling in as an analyst alongside Joey Zanaboni on Saturday night. Kickoff 7:30 against Minnesota from City Park. Pre-game, which Jen will still have doing double duty at 7 o'clock on Saturday. So just about 48 hours from now, Dale will be back for the game. Or you will also have San Jose. Dale will be back for the home game against Sporting Kansas City on September the 28th in just a couple of weeks' time. We'll take one more break. George Ganser will join us for Laws of the Game after this.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Nate Catter, Jen Cease in for Matt Pauley this evening, who is on assignment. A special edition of Graybar Sports Open Line continues live from Hot Shots in Fenton, where City fullback Thomas Totland is just off to our left, signing autographs, taking pictures with the great folks out here at our final KMOX soccer showcase of the season. But they will hopefully be back and better than ever coming up next year. Time now for that special little something we do at the end of the first hour every show.
Now, Laws of the Game.
Time for Laws of the Game with former FIFA and MLS assistant referee George Ganser. And George, I have heard through the grapevine that despite all the stick that I get for the time that we squeeze you on at the end of the first hour because one guest after another goes long, that last week in my absence, it might have been even worse. Can you confirm that?
Wrong.
I'm pretty sure, Nate, it was like a minute and 48 seconds or something like that.
False.
I think the lowest you've done is like 4 minutes.
False.
So what you're saying is that the devil you know might be the better option in some cases. You're feeling a little more gratitude than you have in the past. Okay, finally I'm getting my appreciation I deserve around here.
So talk about laws of the game. And the law of the game I want to talk about is what happened in the City New York game, 79th minute. City's tied 2-2, goes up 3-2. Marcel Hartl beats the keeper, Ivicic, at the near post. Incredible play. Gets called on a foul. That's charging. So he tackles from the back. As I understand from you, middle of the back. No foul, correct?
No. Middle
foul.
Of the back
no,
is a foul. Middle of the back is
no
a foul.
No goal. And the
That's
reason
correct.
Was
so.
That you were talking about, he was calling for shoulder to shoulder, and you say no.
Yeah, so we've seen this a lot this year, in particular shoulder to shoulder, some really strong shoulder charges. But where you cannot shoulder charge someone is in the middle of their back, and so
yeah,
that's
like
what
when
we
Klaus,
saw with Martin.
When Klaus trucked Agata, that was shoulder to shoulder.
Shoulder to shoulder, yeah. So actually, when I saw it at first, I thought it was clean tackle. It was just toward his. It was on his shoulder blade. But that when I saw the replay, that wasn't the case. It was the middle of his back. So, but what that does also then is give the referee an opportunity. It's a clear foul. But it gives them an opportunity to go back 2 or 3 minutes now, because VAR has been looking at, or VAR has been looking at what happened before with Kyle Hebert, and which what could have been a handball in the penalty area, right? So, if we go back to that, I immediately thought it was a handball. So I got two things wrong immediately, right? The first, the handball, I thought it should have been a penalty. And then we go down and I thought it was a fair shoulder charge. But you look at the replays and it's not a fair shoulder charge. And we go and we maybe have a potential for a handball still. But they've decided afterwards that it's not. So they use the VAR technology to go in and send the referee over to look. It was maybe not as clear as it could have been. I thought initially his hand was in an unnatural position. I still think it's in an unnatural position generally. However, remember we've talked about this year that the referees aren't, they're taking the approach that nobody really truly wants to handle the ball. So if you think about Tim Parker just a little bit before that, who's moving his hand away from the ball behind his back, he's intentionally not trying to handle the ball. Same thing. Kyle Hebert is going in for a head ball, and that is a natural position to head the ball, and the ball comes off of the forward and onto his arm, and they decided that that was not a handball because it's a natural position for the action that he's taking.
Georgia, I want to go through the review that then followed that Hartle goal, which you're talking about, and sort of the alternate universes that it opens up. Because we understand why sometimes the play has to go on. You can't just stop the play anytime there's something you want to go back and review. But this was a somewhat unusual circumstance in that a couple of minutes, 2 or 3 minutes had passed between the potential handball penalty on Kyle Hebert and then Hartle scoring on a goal that was then called back. In the end, thankfully for the logistics, both calls on the field were deemed correct, and the officials just said, okay, here we go. We're continuing with New England's ball from the point of the foul on Hartle and remaining at 2-2. Correct. But there's a possible world where they would have said that no handball was the right call on Hebert, but that Hartle's goal should have stood. That's simple enough, 3-2 to City. There's a possible world where they say that Hebert's was a handball, Hartle's was a foul, so they got the second one right but not the first, and they go back and give New England a penalty at 2-2. Also simple enough, a little bit weird going back 3 minutes, but straightforward. What if both calls had been wrong? I'm assuming, even though there were a couple of minutes in between and it's a totally different passage of play, that if they had decided ultimately that Hartle's wasn't a foul and the goal should have stood, but that Hebert's play was handball and should have been given as a penalty, they would have still wiped off the Hartle goal because it was subsequent to what should have been a stoppage for a penalty.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct, Nate. And that's the weird part about how VAR works, but it also goes down to get it right, right? And so you got to go, if the rules for the VAR allow them to go back to that, which they do, they still have to get it right. And so it would have nullified the goal, and they would have gone back for the penalty for New England.
Does added time then also?
So this is what I want to clarify then, with the minute that we have left, because obviously during the review, all of that time gets added on. If the review takes 2 minutes, they're adding that on at the end. What's odd to me is, if you imagine a scenario where, let's say the Hartle goal went in right on 80 minutes and the review starts right then and it takes 2 minutes, we're going to add those 2 minutes on. But let's say it had been 3 minutes since the handball incident. If they go back and if they had wiped off a goal because of an earlier handball 3 minutes prior, are they also adding on those intervening 3 minutes that essentially now we're saying just got canceled out?
That's a great question. I'm sorry I misunderstood your question the first time. No, they are not adding those 3 minutes back on. They've played those 3 minutes, and you're only adding the time then that was used to take the decision for the VAR.
No, you understood. There were two separate questions, so you understood fine. That boggles my mind that we could essentially say those 3 minutes never happened because we should have gone back and given the penalty, but we're also not going to replay them. Essentially, you just took 3 minutes out of the game.
It's a bit odd, but you know, what if you go back and decide that it's not a handling offense and it's not a foul on Hartle, so then you give the goal? Because now you got to go back and do you give that 3 minutes then? The easiest decision is they've played that part of the game. It's part of the game. They go back then. They're taking the time to look at the VAR, so that's the time you add on, not the time that they already played.
Score one for VAR, getting it right, and I suppose score two for the officials on the field because they got both of them right as well.
That is correct. I believe they did.
George Ganser joining us for Laws of the Game, as he does every week. George, thanks so much.
My pleasure, guys. Have fun tonight.
We are having a great time at Hot Shots in Fenton, our final KMOX Soccer Showcase of 2024. The news is coming up after the break, and in the second hour, we will visit with Tyler Terrence, who will call this week's St. Louis City and Minnesota United game on Apple TV. I'll also hear from Bernie Miklas. That's coming up in our second hour right here on KMOX.
To his arm, and they decided that that was not a handball because it's a natural position for the action that he's taking.
Georgia, I want to go through the review that then followed that Hartle goal, which you're talking about, and sort of the alternate universes that it opens up. Because we understand why sometimes the play has to go on. You can't just stop the play anytime there's something you want to go back and review. But this was a somewhat unusual circumstance in that a couple of minutes, 2 or 3 minutes had passed between the potential handball penalty on Kyle Hebert and then Hartle scoring on a goal that was then called back. In the end, thankfully for the logistics, both calls on the field were deemed correct, and the officials just said, okay, here we go. We're continuing with New England's ball from the point of the foul on Hartle and remaining at 2-2. Correct. But there's a possible world where they would have said that no handball was the right call on Hebert, but that Hartle's goal should have stood. That's simple enough, 3-2 to City. There's a possible world where they say that Hebert's was a handball, Hartle's was a foul, so they got the second one right but not the first, and they go back and give New England a penalty at 2-2. Also simple enough, a little bit weird going back 3 minutes, but straightforward. What if both calls had been wrong? I'm assuming, even though there were a couple of minutes in between and it's a totally different passage of play, that if they had decided ultimately that Hartle's wasn't a foul and the goal should have stood, but that Hebert's play was handball and should have been given as a penalty, they would have still wiped off the Hartle goal because it was subsequent to what should have been a stoppage for a penalty.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct, Nate. And that's the weird part about how VAR works, but it also goes down to get it right, right? And so you got to go, if the rules for the VAR allow them to go back to that, which they do, they still have to get it right. And so it would have nullified the goal, and they would have gone back for the penalty for New England.
Does added time then also?
This is what I want to clarify, with the minute that we have left, because obviously during the review, all of that time gets added on. If the review takes 2 minutes, they're adding that on at the end. What's odd to me is, if you imagine a scenario where, let's say the Hartle goal went in right on 80 minutes, and the review starts right then and it takes 2 minutes, we're going to add those 2 minutes on. But let's say it had been 3 minutes since the handball incident. If they go back and if they had wiped off a goal because of an earlier handball 3 minutes prior, are they also adding on those intervening 3 minutes that essentially now we're saying just got canceled out?
That's a great question. I'm sorry I misunderstood your question the first time. No, they are not adding those 3 minutes back on. They've played those 3 minutes, and you're only adding the time then that was used to take the decision for the VAR.
Yeah, no, you understood. There were two separate questions, so you understood fine. That boggles my mind that we could essentially say those 3 minutes never happened because we should have gone back and given the penalty, but we're also not going to replay them. Essentially, you just took 3 minutes out of the game.
It's a bit odd, but you know, what if you go back and decide that it's not a handling offense and it's not a foul on Hartle, so then you give the goal? Because now you got to go back and do you give that 3 minutes then? The easiest decision is they've played that part of the game. It's part of the game. They go back then. They're taking the time to look at the VAR, so that's the time you add on, not the time that they already played.
Score one for VAR, getting it right, and I suppose score two for the officials on the field because they got both of them right as well.
That is correct. I believe they did.
George Ganser joining us for Laws of the Game, as he does every week. George, thanks so much.
My pleasure, guys. Have fun tonight.
We are having a great time at Hot Shots in Fenton, our final KMOX Soccer Showcase of 2024. The news is coming up after the break, and in the second hour, we will visit with Tyler Terrence, who will call this week's St. Louis City and Minnesota United game on Apple TV. I'll also hear from Bernie Miklas. That's coming up in our second hour right here on KMOX.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.